did officially declare that today was Dead Dog Day.
Yeah, Dead Dog in a Suitcase and Other Love Songs is a story of corruption, betrayal, murder and greed, all shot through with dark humour. It features puppetry, song and a decaying Punch and Judy tent, along with a serial killer on the loose. It's a 21st century take on John Gay's 1728 Beggar's Opera.
All taking place at Brighton's Theatre Royal, and I went there earlier to meet two of the cast.
I'm Dominic Marsh and I play McHeath in this show.
I'm Angela Hardy and I play Polly Peachum.
So Knee-High are known for your adaptations of classics, but giving them a massive twist. You've done Brief Encounter, Rebecca, Tristan and Isolde before, many more. Is Dead Dog part of that Knee-High tradition?
I suppose it is, in that it adopts a lot of the things that people who are familiar with Knee-High work would expect, which is exciting theatre that dares to surprise and do things differently, and theatre that's great fun.
I think with this, you've got the kind of classic John Gay music, but then you've got, you know, it's kind of mavericks like Charles Hazlewood and Mike Shepherd and Carl Gross behind the steering wheel. So then what they do is they kind of take something very traditional and then completely flip it on its head and give it new life and new energy and this kind of magical, shocking, adventurous piece. So yeah, I think it does. I think it gives it a very, very new twist, but with traditional themes running throughout it as well.
Now, you opened last night, yeah, and it was tremendously funny. You're getting people to laugh at the end of the world, basically.
Yeah, I know. I think it's that classic way of when something's, you're up against it, sometimes the only thing you can do is laugh. But no, we've got, I mean, it's brilliant, brilliant actors in this company who, you know, are just incredibly well experienced with their comedy timing. So, I mean, the writing's fabulous. So, yeah, it's great fun as well. It was a very dark piece. It's a dark comedy. So you're in for a good night. You're in for probably tears, laughter, and a very interesting end, I'd say.
We're standing here in the Theatre Royal at the moment. I'm looking up at the stage. So there is scaffolding. There's a whole array of guitars. Mm. I can see a lute there. It looks like a rather scabby Punch and Judy box and a rather startling noose. Yeah. Hanging in the middle of the stage. Tell me how this set actually works when the actors are performing on it.
Well, it's funny, when Michael Vale designed this set, I think they had chats about it being a sort of playground that we could all run around on, and it sort of is that, really. It's there's all these sort of iron girders up the back, and the Punch and Judy thing that gives it a sort of, and the slide that gives it this sort of faded, jaded end of the pier show feel, and yet we've got this big pole that we love coming up and down. Well, actually not up. Don't go up anymore. I think I tried that once. It's great. It's very unforgiving. There's a lot of metal there, as the bump on my ankle will testify to from last night. Yeah, no, it's great though. It can transform into lots of many different things.
And puppets play a big part in it. I can see a cage of some rather sinister looking puppets over there.
Indeed. Well, you've got Sarah Wright at the helm of that, and she's, you know, world-class puppeteer. And her detail is extraordinary. You're sitting backstage or you're on stage with her and she's working Punch, Judy, the babies. I mean, there's so many puppets in this, you can't actually list them all, to be honest. And her detail and her focus is just extraordinary. So she brings them to life. I mean, you forget she's there. That's how good she is at her job. So
there are times when some of the performers have solo spotlit performances. How much leeway were the performers given to develop those?
I think it was all developed in a very generous way. I mean, it wasn't prescriptive. That's the way Knee-High works. So there's all kinds of things that didn't make the final cut, but that's part of the joy of devising a show. I think it's one of my favourite things about this show is at various points. At one point you're a rock star in a concert, at another point you're in a Noel Coward witty wordplay moment, you know, and then there's these sort of, you know, then there's a big Shakespeare Act 5 at the end, you know, there's all kinds of different things that happen in it that is lovely as an actor to have the opportunity to do all of that within one show.
And it kind of crosses time boundaries because obviously John Gay's opera was 18th century and you have nods now to 21st century environmental crisis.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what's great about this piece is that when I first did it 3 years ago, it felt incredibly relevant in, you know, in the way of the world. And now it's even more so. It was wonderful, actually. We got this text yesterday from our friend who used to do it last time. He was the drummer. And he said, you know, it's thunder for a heavy heart. And I think that's exactly what this is. You know, it's absolutely relevant. It's it's defiant, it's right, you know, it's kind of screaming against the darkness, really. So I think it gives a voice to something that actually a lot of people are angry about. You turn on the news and, you know, you're either depressed or you're angry about something, depending on which, you know, viewpoint you're coming from. So yeah, everyone's going to get something from it, whichever way they look at it.
And Nihai, no strangers to the Brighton Festival. Is there something special about coming and performing in Brighton, especially in this beautiful theatre?
It's a lovely week, isn't it? And to be, well, it's a week for us, month for you. Yeah, it's great. This is a gorgeous theatre, and I wish they made theatres like this now. It's fantastic. I was lucky enough to do Tristan and Isolde with Nihai here 2 years ago, and it was amazing. A little bit warmer than it is this week as well. But that brings its own challenges as you melt on stage. But no, it's great. It's lovely. It's a lovely place to be. It's always that frustration when you're at a festival as well, because you're working, so you can't take in as much of the stuff as you want to.
That was Dominic Marsh and Angela Hardy talking about Dead Dog in a Suitcase and other love songs. Oh, stop it. Behave. Put it away. Howling there in the background. Dead Dog in a Suitcase and other love songs at the Theatre Royal. Tonight runs through to Saturday, and Rebecca went to see it.
So, just come outside the Theatre Royal. The first performance of Dead Dog in a Suitcase has just finished, and I'm with Ali J, who's sitting beside me. How did you find it?
Oh, well, that was great, Rebecca, wasn't it? What a full stage. So there's a lot of actors on that stage who are all very talented. They're playing instruments, they're acting, they're singing, they're dancing, and what a lot of chaos. I've never seen so much chaos. The set's amazing. You're on a building site, then there's a dead dog leaping out at you, and then there's somebody with his penis out, and you just don't know where to look.
There was, as you say, so much going on. And I found at times it was like being at some sort of rock concert, and other times they're sort of losing their mind, shouting and singing and very raucous, but then quiet, calm moments. And The use of Punch and Judy featuring throughout. What did you think of that and the puppetry?
Well, yes, the Punch and Judy bit of domestic violence there for you. But I think more so was all the puppetry. There was loads of great interactions with all the cast members, all the different types of puppets. And I think one of the things that really brought home to me was actually you're not watching the end of the world, really, aren't you? And that's always a bit depressing, but they made light of it.
They did. I kept thinking, I'm laughing here, and people are dying, people are being lied to, cheated on, people are being just wicked, and then there'd be a sort of laugh. And I feel discombobulated out here.
Discombobulated is a word. And, of course, corrupt police. It was like watching Line of Duty in the Dark Ages.
Anyway, Ali, I'm going to let you go home and think about the end of the world as we've just experienced it at the Theatre Royal. Thanks very much.
Bring it all down.
Line of Duty for the Dark Ages. She's a character, isn't she? Where'd you find her? Sat next to you. Yeah, well, I honestly, this sounds fantastic. I didn't go and see it, but you went to see it last night, and you were raving to me about this earlier. And we are quite harsh and critical about
things.
Yeah,
and I expected not to enjoy it, I have to tell you, because A, I've got a bad back and it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to last 2.5 hours sitting. And at the interval, I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. This is. And B, it. Realistically, in the first 10-15 minutes, I was hesitant because there's a bit of the old, Harry Higgin, what's his name?
Yeah,
My Fair Lady,
whatever, yes,
singing,
yeah.
Sing-along-y style.
Yeah.
And then I just went with it, and it got better and better. And quite often, 2.5 hour productions, when it comes to the second act, you're thinking, well, you're thinning now. But it just kept giving more, and it was fabulous. It really was. I mean, and if you were getting a bit bored, there were, which you wouldn't have been, I would add, there were bangs and noises aplenty to wake you up from your seat.
And I looked at the set. Obviously, I went down there and I interviewed Dominic and Angela there today. That set looked absolutely astonishing. So it's a kind of Mad Max type set with the pole that they described that poor Dominic bashed his ankle on. The slide, the really manky Punch and Judy tent. It looked really creative, really incredible.
It was, and I think they mentioned it was a chap called Michael Vale that did that, and, you know, hats off. It worked really well in the space, and as soon as I went into the theatre and looked at it, I thought, this is a great set design for a touring company that uses a space, and they they're up and down. It's like a Meccano set, you know, as far as they're sort of climbing up it. The puppets appear at different points and down, and they're sliding down the slide, and with sort of comedy, farce alongside the tragedy, because there is a horrendous brutality in it. But it's done in a really, really clever way. And I had concerns over, you know, that theme. I'm not a big fan of violence. I'm not a big fan.
Some people are massive fans of violence.
No, it's a form of entertainment, horror, thriller, you know, things that, you know, bloody. I'm not a fan. But there, the blood is red tissue, red material.
Okay.
So it's just so clever, yeah. So it's another great recommendation from me.
So I think this might be one of those ones that people look at in the programme and thinking, like, yikes, is that going to be for me? But you would say, absolutely, absolutely go for it. Yeah, fantastic.
I would recommend it with abandon. It is very loud at times, so if you're not a big, I mean, there are, they literally are grabbing megaphones and
thanks, Rebecca.
So that sort of thing, which I loved. It was like Throbbing Gristle. Do you remember Throbbing Gristle?
How could I forget
back in the day?
Gristle,
yeah, so there's a bit of that going on at times, yeah.
Okay, well, that is Dead Dog in a Suitcase, and that is taking place at the Theatre Royal. It runs tonight through to Saturday. How many stars?
Out of how many?
Let's say out of five.
I'd say another four, yeah.
Okay, fine. Right, there we go. So go and see that. So if you're looking at that in the programme and you're wondering, Rebecca says go.